Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
The Drive is live.
That's right. The Drive is live. It's game day. The Drive will take you right up until the pregame show, as Reggie said. We'll hand things off to Seth and Sean as we get ready for the biggest game of the year. Buffalo Bills, they're in town. The reigning MVP, Josh Allen, is in the building. And Davis Mills leads this crew.
D-Mills gets it done!
In the biggest game of the season, trying to get above 500 for the first time. Here, hey. Somebody on text line said, Clint looks like he's ready to back up Davis Mills tonight by your outfit. That is. You do have a good-looking backup quarterback, like right before the game,
before you get out there to warm up.
And then we get you some pads. Did you actually hold a clipboard? You didn't hold a clipboard, did you?
No.
Okay. Everybody says hold the clipboard when they do that. I feel like that's just,
We wasn't charting. I guess everybody was charting was up in the box. Yeah. Hell, I was getting paid by Nike to wear a hat with a swoosh on the side, baby.
So you had your hat.
I'm telling you,
you
man.
You did wear your hat.
Them 3 years your boy had in Dallas.
Did you have anything to hear the play calls?
Not the piece we had now. I just have my helmet up to my head like this right here. I got it. Whoever the backup was that particular day may have had his helmet on. Hey, man, what was that? What'd you get? Yeah, man.
Yeah, that's nice, man.
Yeah, no, I didn't have no earpiece. I didn't have no charting. No. Just put that old Nike hat on. We're gonna give you some bread and send you some gear, man.
Yeah. There you go.
Yep.
Hey, take that bread.
See if you spot anything in the stand.
There you go. And you did, didn't you? You're looking.
A few times.
Didn't you? Good.
Looking, goosenecking, rubbernecking.
Hard look.
That old five down there, you a goosenecking, rubbernecking son of a gun.
There you go.
Yeah, hey. Where you going at the game?
Where you at? Hey, they got them all reds tonight, fellas.
Ooh.
The helmets, everything. Yeah, them all red. Ooh. Joints and battle red joints tonight. Should be a good one tonight. Before we get into the breakdown of the game here, some news coming out here in regards to Joe Mixon. And this, if you're just jumping in, from Ian Rappaport of NFL Network, cites that sources tell him that Texans running back Joe Mixon is not expected to play this season, and he deals with a foot injury from the offseason. Mixon likely remains on the physically unable to perform list through the season. Meanwhile, Houston moves forward, as they've done all season, with Nick Chubb and Woody Marks. But old Joe Mixon on Twitter, I ain't heard, seen from Joe, except for that time he was on that escalator behind Brandon Scott.
Mm-hmm.
Joe Mixon responded on Twitter. He said, now I get everybody's looking for splash news and clickbait. Ooh, sounds just like his head coach. But I'm just curious, Ian, how do you know more about me than me? Peter Schrager, go get your mans, bro. That's from Joe Mixon, as he claps back to the report from Ian Rappaport. Your thoughts?
Can I be honest, boys?
I hope so. I'd like to be.
I'm so sick and tired of the Joe Mixon stuff. All of it. All of it. D'Amico acting, getting mad because you asked questions about the running back. All the different stories about what's going on. The questions about, you know, is he coming back? And they're all questions aimed at people that don't have the answers. Nobody in the organization. It's all just for a bunch of people, including Joe, that want to clap back or want to show frustration because somebody asked about it. You all got the power
to shut it all down.
You've all got the power to shut it all down. Nick Caserio, D'Amico Ryans, Joe Mixon, you've all got the power to say, hey, man, we ain't even going to entertain this thing until week 14. Hey, man, he got hurt offside. He wasn't on the Texans' property under Texans' control area. When he got injured.
Gray area.
Hey, he went somewhere else and got it treated. It didn't work out, man. The guy can't walk right now. The guy can't run right now, man. What are we doing? We got two running backs that are playing good football right now. We're trying to win a game. We're trying to fight. We're fighting like hell to get out of the damn hole that we dug. And y'all want to talk about a guy that's riding the escalator behind Brandon Scott? I mean, I am so sick and tired of it. And the stuff with Joe on Twitter. The worst thing.
You ain't said nothing. We ain't seen you.
But the worst thing, though, Ron, the worst thing is the guy that hadn't been seen, that is a non-story, like a non-factor. Non-factor. Right? And to be honest with you, a non-story unless somebody breaks news out of pocket, right? The only time it's been a story is when somebody apparently gives a report that's false.
Ian does. And by the way, Ian's not been wrong yet.
Right.
By the way, don't want to make that clear. Like, this happened where D'Amico gave a similar thing, and Ian was right all the way. So I would just like to say, in my honest thoughts, I believe Ian.
Guys,
I do not believe you, Joe, or whatever it is that you're trying to say.
Well, it's just,
I don't think you're going to play another
like,
down.
Like coming out and having some level of transparency just to squash it all and to keep things like this from happening is very simple for all of them. Nick Caserio was on Payne and Pendergast, and he went on for 2 minutes about Joe Mixon's gray area, about how things change and things. I mean, I'm top of the line annoyed with all of it. And then he's, you know, Joe talking on Twitter, talking about, now I know everybody's looking for a splash. Come on, man.
You think
those dudes right there, you think they need a bogus Joe Mixon report in week 12 of the NFL slate to get clicks? Last time I checked, those guys they ain't worried too much about clicks. They're getting them. Right? I mean, it's just like, it's all just like self-promotion. Like, come on, man. If somebody in the organization or if Joe Mixon himself is going to come out and say, hey, man, here's what went down. Here's how I treated it. Here's why I'm on this list. And here's what it's looking like. Then leave it alone. Stay out of it. Texans, everybody,
Ian,
stay out of it.
What do you think the odds are, Tyler, that Ian just woke up and just woke up and said, you know what?
I'm going to address Joe Mixon.
I think Joe Mixon's not coming back today.
Depends how horny he woke up.
You think even if he was at prime all the way to the top horny, there is in some manner somebody gave him
23% chance that happens.
Somebody gave him information in which he feels comfortable with going with. Somebody very trusted.
Yeah, and in all seriousness, this is a guy at the top of his field. Like, he doesn't just fire off tweets for the hell of it.
Especially with how D'Amico acted. The first time he said something about Joe Mixon in the offseason, which he has been correct.
The first time,
the way that D'Amico reacted, he's sure not coming up just pulling Joe Mixon stories out of his ass and not have anybody correct him. Come on, Joe. You know you ain't playing.
It's all just, I mean, the smoke and mirrors, the guys that keep a story alive and then get frustrated because people ask about it or need to take to social media to defend themselves and the stories and all. Like, come on, man. It's
Joe, 713-572-4610. You can call right in and clear it up.
Please.
Clear that please. Damn.
Let's get it all out there,
yeah,
man. What happened? What went down? What's the treatment? What's it looking like? Why are you running somewhere? That's the damnedest thing, be honest with you, folks. We're having questions. People are asking questions and we're having conversations like somebody saw Joe Mixon over here at North Shore on their turf field out there running around. And catching balls from that quarterback over there.
Yeah, Jordan Schultz will come out there and whoop Ian's ass for you. Remember how Jordan had him hemmed up in that
probably,
Starbucks?
He could probably be bald.
Remember Jordan had Ian's ass hemmed up in that Starbucks?
Made him look
He'll
so
whoop
little.
Ass. Come on, Joe.
I mean, it just
you
gets
got,
to,
you
it
got
gets
a platform
to
right
where,
here.
And this is coming from the president of the Joe Mixon fan club when he got here and when he was playing. I mean, I it's gotten to a point where I just roll my eyes.
I love Joe Mixon.
I'm driving down the road and heard him talking about it on In the Loop today, and I just roll my eyes.
Yeah, Joe Mixon.
Not at them, at the story.
Yeah, just... ESPN didn't bother to take it down. They're still putting it up there, too, themselves. Hey, Peter Schrager, bro, get your man. By the way, Peter's at ESPN. I think he ran it. Peter ran it, too. All right, Joe. Well, looks like we won't see Joe tonight. Or the rest of the season, unless Joe has something.
It wouldn't shock me if Joe wasn't in that suite.
He might be out there. Like, see him on the sideline. I forgot what he looks like.
What's the hot spot? What's the Texan spot? Thursday night after a primetime game? I bet you Joe's behind
might
that
be up
red.
There with Hannah and Cal.
I'll let you know if I see him.
He'll be behind that velvet rope somewhere under some neons.
I'll keep my eyes open.
By 11:30, 12 o'clock.
He's moving all right.
Hey, under them neons.
Mm-hmm. He went down that escalator, okay.
He might be on the side. He might be on there with his battle red 28.
All
you got
to do is have two legs go down the escalator.
You just stand still, cuz. Yeah, but he didn't have a cane or nothing. All right, Clint, tonight, what for you, what are the, as we look at the game, Buffalo coming into town in a game that the Texans really need to win, what are the key matchups? Let's first look at it when the Texans have the ball. What are the key matchups?
I'm going to go outside the box here, Ron. I don't think – I know the stats, the box scores will tell you that running the football against Buffalo is the path to victory. I don't believe it. I don't believe it.
Well, I do, but I hear you.
I mean, I think that's if you've got Bijan Robinson that can go for 140, if you've got Derrick Henry with a healthy Baltimore team that can go 170, if you got, there ain't but one guy that's gone off against them that I didn't have the name of that wasn't one of the best in the league, and it's old buddy. What was old buddy last week?
That fella last week went off.
And that wasn't but 100 and something. So, I think they can run the ball well. I think they can run it sparingly. I think they can run it in important moments. I think you can lean into that with your game plan. But I think this game right here comes down to Nico Collins versus Benford and White. Whichever corner he catches, I think this game comes down to Nico Collins doing work and throwing the football more so than going out there and dominate in dominating fashion, running the football. Like all the stuff that led to Buffalo being the worst run defense in football, I don't know that we got that.
They're second pass defense this year.
What's that?
Buffalo.
Yeah. I'm not worried about it. I think this is about Nico.
Now, Nico will have to make plays.
He's got to. There's no doubt about it. We're not a team against anybody that's going to run the football to victory. This is Nico versus Benford and White. Nico's got to go get it. Nico's got to make plays. Nico's got to be a big part of it. Kaylee's got to find a way to get him open, as he has done lately, recently. Nico's the secret sauce in winning this game right here. I don't know how secret it is, but he's the X factor that wins this game for him.
All right, and then what about when Buffalo has the ball? What's the key matchup for you?
Well, I think it's particularly specifically James Cook versus Henry Toa and or EJ Speed. Like I think those guys, and I think specifically in space, whether it's the outside zone schemes and those guys playing downhill to get it, or it's him catching the ball out of the backfield, screen game, whatever. Those guys have to be really, really good in corralling James Cook in the open field, or the Texans are going to struggle mightily.
Yeah. James Cook is a real key in this game, a big key in this game. I'm completely with you on that one. Text line coming in. Thank you, Clint. I'm so against the run right now, as I have since 2002. But right now, you need to use your offensive weapons. They don't have the secondary.
Well, I'm not against it. Now, don't get me wrong. I'm not against it by any means. I got to take a
look at that bad run defense, see if, because I just think that helps you out. Nico too.
I completely agree. I just don't think you're going to run the football versus this bad defense and keep up with Buffalo. I just don't think it's going to happen. It may. I just don't think it's going to happen. I think it's going to come down to 12 got to make some plays, and I mean some big plays. 12's got to hit a seam. 12's got to get over the top. 12's got to do some. He's got to have a monster game tonight, I believe.
Yeah, and I want to kind of continue with that as we get you ready for Bills and Texans coming up. We're out of here at 4:15, handing things off to Seth and Sean for the pregame show. But I think today we'll learn even more about Nick Caley. I think this is a big spot for Nick Caley, even with his starting quarterback C.J. Stroud out. I think there are still some pretty serious, not serious, but some realistic expectations in this particular game. We'll discuss that coming up next.
Live from the Mokarem Injury Lawyers Studios, Sports Radio 610 presents The Drive with Sterner and Hughley.
Texans-Bills coming up at NRG tonight, Thursday night football, standalone game, prime time for you. We'll all be in the building. Should be a good time tonight as the Texans look to get a big win tonight. And Clint, man, I think for me, and 713-572-4610, YouTube and Twitch, you can jump in, obviously, on this conversation. I think this game's going to tell us a lot about where Nick Caley is right now. And I know that he does not have his starting quarterback in C.J. Stroud, which obviously there is some grace there. But we've watched Davis Mills, and we can see Davis Mills is somebody clearly over the last couple of games that you can run offense with, that you can, as Clint has been expressing, you can run your offense and have some success. And this is not a great defense. I think there's an argument that you could say this is the worst defense that Davis Mills has had to face in this stretch of games. Maybe Tennessee is a little worse, but this is the 15th rated defense when it comes to total defense and points allowed, and they have a glaring flaw. They're one of the worst run defenses in football. And to me, Clint, as we're getting further and further along in the season, there to me is an expectation like that you don't have one of those games where we've looked at Clint and it's like, man, they can't do nothing. They can't do nothing. I have expectations like 20 points shouldn't be a hard task to me in this game. Getting a 20 points against this defense, right? Last week was disappointing from an offensive standpoint, but I think Buffalo at home, they should be able to have some success moving the ball and scoring points tonight. So to me, this is a performance we've seen a lot of teams. People, you've sent it in, yes, Atlanta, and we've watched the Dolphins. Just from an offensive perspective, have a level of success against this defense, and I think Nick Caley should be able to have a game plan together to have some success, even with Davis Mills in there against this defense.
Yeah, look, I've talked for 2 days now, 3 days now about it. I think this game is strictly on DeMeco Ryans, but there's no doubt about it that it's going to say a lot about Nick Caley in this offense. We've seen the last few weeks. I've seen improvement. Now it was improvement against lesser opponents. I would argue that there were some plays there to be made against Denver. That is obviously a great defense that is significantly better than the defense you're going to see tonight, I guess. But yeah, look, I think when it's all said and done, I agree. As you said earlier, Vegas got him a 6-point favorite. I agree. Buffalo is a better football team, especially with no C.J. Stroud and no Petrie.
We can see how they arrived there. Yeah.
Now, this is not a defense that should stonewall you.
No.
This is not a defense that your offense can go out there and look totally inept against. Like the Denver Texans game, I mean, look, 15-15 was about par for the course.
Especially what happened in that game.
Yeah.
If you're Nick Caley, bam, you got to change it all. When your quarterback goes out, your best offensive lineman, don't forget, goes out of that game, you got to change a lot of things. And we saw even more changes that had to be made the second half of the game when they really struggled. This isn't that situation.
I mean, you could see it become a field goal fest. You could see it become, hey, man, your special teams have to respond. Like, I think Denver's special team scored a touchdown in that game, I believe. Didn't they have a return touchdown in that game?
Jacksonville they did.
Oh, was that Jacksonville that did that? Jacksonville, yeah. But you know, point is that game is one where you could see being a 13-10 ball game. I don't know that. Well, I do know it's not going to be a real good look for Nick Caley if you can't push more than 10 points out there.
Yeah,
if you can't put a better offensive product on the field versus this defense, then again, we've got some bigger conversations that need to be had. I do believe, Ron, I agree with you. We're going to learn a lot about Nick Caley tonight.
Yeah, like someone texted in, 20, I think that's reasonable. I got the Texans 21-17. No, I think it's very reasonable with this team. I mean, they just have flaws where they have flaws and you have some things you can take advantage of, right? Like, I think especially where this offense is coming. And you're what, 12 weeks into the year now, you got to be in a better spot. Like, we've seen what you can do with Nico. It should be, like, to me, I think it was very disappointing, you know, what they did last week from a points perspective. But you broke it down and said there were many opportunities there. Sure. Well, they've got to cash in on those opportunities, because I think the opportunities will be there. But as you said, this is not Denver. This is not the Rams. This is not Seattle. Like, Buffalo is not going to just, as you said, we got bigger problems. Buffalo is just not a defense that's just going to go in there and we're just going to take everything.
Overwhelm.
We're going to shut you down, where we got the personnel to do. I mean, they've got Joey Bosa when he comes alive at times. But, yeah, 20 points to me is reasonable at home against this team, even with Davis Mills. So I'm really looking to see what Nick Caley is able to put together in this game.
Well, it's going to be interesting, because with Davis Mills in the football game, we've seen a more pass-happy approach, a more aggressive approach. And we've seen Davis manage it well, in a sense of taking the shots when they're there and then idling it back down and getting the ball underneath. We've seen him handle it well, but throwing the ball 40-some-odd times, I wouldn't think, against anybody, to be honest with you, but I wouldn't think that would be the recipe for your backup quarterback with some really question marks beyond Dalton Schultz and Nico Collins, some real question marks up front in your offensive line. Throwing it 40-some-odd times a game probably isn't ideal. I am interested to see kind of how they dial that back tonight. As you said, with Bosa, what's my man on the other side of it? My main
Rousseau.
Thing is, Rousseau, and you know, the fact that they have been vulnerable to the run. Like, I wonder how much they dial that back, or do we end up seeing another game where Davis Mills is knocking or topping on 40 attempts, and what does that look like versus his defense? It'll be interesting to see what they see how they pull it together.
Text line saying, I think 20 points is pretty aggressive. Maybe asking too much from Davis Mills in this offense. I just don't in this game. I don't. They scored. They field goaled their way to 15 against Denver.
20 points is not that's not a big ask against. 20 points is not a huge ask against the Texans defense. For a competent offense, it's not.
Yeah.
I mean, you could argue that, like, Denver went out there, one of the better teams in the league, Denver went out there and put up 18 against us, and hell, all they did was drop back and take shots all day long, waste downs. I mean, Bo Nix was awful in that game.
I just think
– and they scored 18. 20 points is not – 20 points is not like, I cannot – like, I'm not, nobody's going to applaud you because you scored 20 points. I mean, that's something that I think the Texans – I mean, what's Buffalo giving up a game right now? Is that even on par with what they're giving away? It's got to be low 20s.
24, 20,
yeah, I mean,
like,
so the Texans go out there and don't even get what's on average they've been giving up. 20 points is not. I mean, that's very, very doable for Davis Mills and Nick Caley.
Yeah, they're giving up 23 points a game.
Yeah, I mean, 20 points is not a.
Yeah, I just think, and I don't think the Texans' offense. I'm not saying that they're great. I'm talking about this matchup. I think Woody, Nico, and even Dalton Schultz are guys that Buffalo just shouldn't just take away from you. That's three different guys that I think are positions that they have struggled with this year. All right, coming up as we continue here, we'll get T-Mill's best bets. He had a big night last night. As we get out early, we'll get his best bets in. And, yes, we're getting you ready for this Texans-Bills matchup, but the Astros made some interesting news last night. We'll look at that as well as we continue right here live on The Drive.
Sports Radio 610 presents The Drive with Sterner and Hughley. Sports Radio 610, Houston Texans breaking news.
All right, we got some breaking news going into this game. What is it?
It is Houston Texans running back news, not Joe Mixon. The Texans have reportedly waived running back Damian Pierce. DP, Damian Pierce is no longer a Houston Texan.
According to Jonathan M. Alexander of the Chronicle, that 1 minute ago, Damian Pierce has been waived. So the two top running backs last year, Joe Mixon, Damian Pierce, making news today. Ian and Rappaport reports that it is not expected for Joe Mixon to return this season. Well, he'll return, play this season. And then, according to Jonathan M. Alexander of the Chronicle, that Dameon Pierce has been waived off of this team, Clint. And that is interesting when you look at the depth chart now. Woody Marks, Nick Chubb, Dari Ogunbowale, Dameon Pierce had just been a kickoff returner sometimes at that point. I remember he got yanked off the field after the fumble from Tremont Smith in the Jacksonville game. So Dameon Pierce, it looks like that time is over. Started out fast in his first year and never, ever came close to looking like that player ever again.
Yeah, look, I don't know what took so long. I mean, at the end of the day, this is one of those deals where the way that they have been using Dameon Pierce, him being active on the roster makes no sense. It's clear that the top two backs are obviously Woody Marks, who has emerged as the top back the last couple of weeks. I think he's had probably 90% of the touches. Nick Chubb is clearly the guy that they trust as in a 1-2 punch with Woody Marks. And for some reason, they still believe that Dari Ogunbowale is the best option for a third down back on this team. And that is what they're going to ride with. And with that said, you flip over to, okay, special teams. Well, now all the return specialists that you have, Jalen Noel, Braxton Berrios, Tremont Smith, who fumbled. You mentioned fumbled. He can return. I mean, you've got a ton of guys that Christian Kirk, if he's going to be active, he could help you in the return game if indeed that's what he's going to do. You've got a ton of guys that are definitely have returned and or are absolutely return specialists. It just doesn't make any sense for Dameon Pierce to continue on an active roster here with the Texans. So this doesn't come as a surprise to me at all.
Yeah. Wow.
Just, hate to see it because I like him.
Yeah.
Good dude, great dude, fun to cover, really cool cat. But I mean, be honest,
he wasn't getting time.
That's the beautiful part of this is you know getting waived. He's going to be able to get claimed by anybody out there, and he I don't know if he'll get claimed or not, but he'll be able to kind of pick and choose. If he doesn't get claimed, he'll get to be able to pick and choose where he goes next, and. You'd like to see a guy like that get a shot somewhere where it feels like he at least has some juice, some energy, and an opportunity. I mean, here he was going the wrong way on the depth chart. He was going the wrong way on the roster. Obvious as today shows you. So getting, you know, somebody like that deserves to get in a spot somewhere where he can at least have hope to get some more runs.
Yeah, as you said, man, he's a likable cat. I hope he is able to, find a new. You know, a new home, a new change of scenery, and we can see something close to what he is. Like I still think that guy has talent, and it is really unbelievable the drop from that first year in the Pep Hamilton system. You know, when they didn't have much when Davis Mills was the starter, and just never came close to finding that again. Whether it was system, whatever, we heard so many things. Just never came close to finding that again. And I do. I hope that cat finds somewhere and is able to find something.
Yeah, I don't know what the waiver wire looks like this time of year. I mean, I don't know how active it is, and I don't know how active teams are. So I don't know that if he will or if he stands a good chance of getting claimed or not. But I would be shocked if whether it's getting claimed or picked up after passing a clearing waiver. I'd be shocked if Dameon Pierce isn't on somebody's roster.
Yeah, he's got a lot of talent and, you know, and could do several things, right? Yeah. He can return kicks. He can.
Well, I'd like to see Dameon Pierce in an offense like, and I'm not saying schematically he fits because, I think all running backs at this point, if you got a good offensive line and a good scheme, I think you fit. I think that he didn't fit what we do. I think that was I think that's a cop out from day one. But I think I would love to see him in a offense like. Again, like Baltimore or Philly or Detroit, you know, one of these downhill run teams that truly pride themselves on physicality, and see how a guy that runs with the complete disregard for his own body. I'd like to see what he looks like in that kind of that kind of offense.
All right, we'll get to T. Mills' best bets as he's going to get you ready. I'm certain all of these are tonight's games. And by the way, he was a 4-for-4 last night, so he is absolutely deep in the green. 8-for-11. We'll get to that real quick. You told us about this last night, and Mauricio Dubon is no longer an Astro. They have moved on from him in a trade.
We lost Doobie, man.
Yeah, the Houston Astros acquire infielder Nick Allen from the Atlanta Braves, and we know there's a connection for Dana Brown to the Braves, in exchange for Mauricio Dubon. The announcement was made by general manager Dana Brown. Allen, who is younger, Dubon is 31, Allen's 27. He hit .221 with 11 doubles, 32 runs, 22 RBIs, but he is really good defensively. He was a finalist for the National League Gold Glove at shortstop this season after ranking fourth in outs above average in the National League. Well, he's not coming here to play shortstop. So, I wonder, is he as flexible as Dubon was? That was the thing with Dubon, is Dubon could play first, second, short, and third, and all the outfield positions. He could do everything but catch and pitch, and he might be able to pitch. And you exchange that for, I don't know, maybe obviously, Dana being in the Atlanta system probably knows Allen pretty well. You wonder if he's able to give them as much flexibility as Dubon was. But I'm a little surprised they moved on for Dubon, who's won the Gold Glove for utility player the last 2 years in the American League.
Mauricio Dubon is no longer an Astro. How does that hit you, Houston? How does that hit your ears right there? Because I'm going to tell you, I don't like it.
Sounds like Dana's been trying to do it for a while.
I'm not a fan. And it's not even, to me, it's not even about, look, I understand this is a money play. I don't know what $4 million means to a Major League Baseball franchise. This is clearly a money play. This other cat is not Mauricio Dubon. It's a money play. Now, I think the Astros look at it as, we've got more infielders than we know what to do with. I mean, you can argue right now Altuve is going to be your utility guy at second base and left field, and I don't know, hell, it's about all he can play. He can't play short, can't play the left side of the infield, can't play first base. So I don't. They got enough infielders to where I guess guys can rest. You got multiple third basemen. You got two guys that can play shortstop at an elite level. You got about four guys that can play second base. I know you got two or three that can play first. So maybe the super utility guy doesn't necessarily have the same demand with this particular roster moving forward. But I know for me, just as an Astros fan, man, I'm a huge fan of Mauricio Dubon. You can argue, I mean, he has done a lot more than just be a super utility down the stretch over the last handful of years. I mean, he's been critical. He's been clutch. He's been really, really good at multiple positions. And so, I liked him repping. I liked him repping the Astros. I liked him. In the uni and being one of our guys, so I'm gonna be honest with you, I'm not a big fan of this move. He was gonna cost him about $5.5 million, I think, next year.
I know. Still think he's the best center fielder on the team. All right, T. Mill, what's your best bet? Sorry, Jake, what's your best bet tonight? I know it's got to be Thursday night football heavy.
Of course, the hometown team is playing. We always do Thursday night football bets, but when the hometown squad's playing, we're definitely going to do it. And by the way, we went 4-for-4 last night.
That's right.
That's some perfection on your ass.
73% thus far this week.
Damn right. Call that a heater in the business, people. I got four bets for you tonight between the Texans and Bills. Here they are. First, Texans and them points, +6. Texans +6. Love it a lot. I think the Texans have a good chance to win this outright, as we've been discussing. We will see. But +6 is your first bet. Then we got one Buffalo Bill player prop for you. James Cook, the running back, over 15.5 receiving yards. Now, last game for the Bills, they threw to their running backs more than they have all season. They went to them in the pass game more than we've seen all year, and they scored twice. So I think that's a great bet right there. Davis Mills, two Texans props. First, the General Mills. It's probably my favorite bet of the evening. Over 211.5 passing yards for Davis Mills. 211.5 over. He has gone over that the last two games easily. Locked that one in. And lastly, the rookie, Jaden Higgins. I have over 27.5 receiving yards for him. We've heard the Texans brass and players all week hype this guy up more and more week in, week out about how good he is, how his development's coming along. Over 27.5 receiving yards for Jaden Higgins and the Texans tonight. Those are your four best bets.
I hope that last one works for you. I'm not confident that they are going to, that they're like, all right, man, he's going to be somebody we use. Hell, what they've done with Jalen Noel from week after week, I don't know. I don't know how many snaps from week to week these young cats are going to get. Hope you get that one. Like the Davis Mills and the James Cook one. I think the James Cook one's really, really good because I think there's going to be a lot more pressure and probably short throws that Josh is getting the ball away with. So
let's get this ball. I like the
two middle ones, the Cook and Mills one, I like. Jaden Higgins, I'm not ready to put anything on him yet.
That's one play, T.
Yep.
27.5 yards. Just one little go route, man. One little go route.
You like that?
Yeah. Streaking down the sideline. Jaden Higgins, rock and roll. No.
I think that's a little softer Vandy right there. I'll get on that Higgins with you.
Oh, okay.
He's getting on there.
Okay. I'll get on that Higgins with you.
Let's go. Okay.
All right, he's getting on there.
I like that. I think that they've shown a good – here's what I like about it, not the one play. I do like Davis's ability and willingness to go route to him a couple times a game. But what they've done is they've shown the ability to do the one thing that I would be sick if I were a coach and my team didn't take care of. If you get a soft corner, throw that damn hitch out there. If you get a soft corner, throw a little speed cut out right out there. If you get a soft corner, throw that damn stack route. Just run, get him back pedaling, stop your ass, and I'm going to stick it right in your face mask.
Now the question is, Clint, it's up to -150 for that prop you want to follow me on. So do you want to risk 150 big ones to win the Benji?
Hey, man, scared money.
My God, let's go.
I mean, clearly, if it's up to 150, it's likely going to hit.
All right, as we continue. You didn't even flinch.
It's dangerous. I let T get it. I let T do it. I like the James Cook too, but I'm not gonna do it. I'm sticking all Texans, baby.
There you go. All right, coming up, the Texans will win if they do what? Text in yours 713-572-4610, YouTube and Twitch. Texans will win if they do what? And how you feeling about Davis tonight? And I wonder how many of you have been able to kind of get to a space that I'm in with Davis Mills. Some of you probably haven't gotten there yet. You need to get there. We'll discuss all that as we continue coming up next.